الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا رب العالمين. Amazing is how Sahaba رضي الله عنهم would savor every chapter and love every chapter and value every chapter. Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه says that the Surah Anbiya and Maryam and Taha are one of my early collections. So Sahaba are like we value valuables. Someone values a chain, another values a watch, he savors it, he preserves it, a Kruger coin. Sahaba savor chapters. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, an early Sahabi, he became Muslim in the early stages. His story how he became Muslim also was very interesting. He was a shepherd. He was a shepherd in one vicinity outside Makkah. So he didn't have much encounter with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he was leaving home early in the morning and he was back after nightfall. And he has to get ready the next day. And a shepherd is someone very responsible. You have to be responsible for your flock. And in this he says, one day, two men were approaching me. He didn't know who they were. And they come right by me and they say, son, I could see that they were exhausted. So he said to me, can you milk for us one goat? So I responded to them, and I won't be able to do that, uncle, I'm sorry. This flock doesn't belong to me. I just work. I'm working. So in this, he says, they were shocked by my attitude, that I was amanatdar. So they said to me, okay, can you give us a little goat, a female, that no male has sat upon? Meaning it can't give you milk. Just give us a little female goat, just to see something. So he's thinking to himself, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, how can I say no for everything? So I grabbed one little goat and I passed it to the man. He took it, he turned it and he pressed the udder. And he says, I was shocked. I just heard him say a few words. And that udder started to expand. And he started milking it. He filled a bowl, they drank, they shared with me. Then, after they finished, I finished. He addresses the udder, patting it again, telling it, in tabid, now you must shrink now. To my utter consternation and shock, that udder came back to normal size and he returned the little billy goat to me. So I was shocked and they could see the startlement on my expression. So I said to him, uncle, before you go, please teach me what you said to the udder. I also need to know those words. So the man told me, young man, you know much already. What he meant was, you have the quality of amanat dari. With that quality, Allah will open all doors for you. Little later, he says, I got to know. That man was none other than Janabi Rasulullah. And his companion was Hazrat Abu Bakr. They were being brutally tortured in Makkah because of the gush, because of the inviting to Allah. So they were chased out of Makkah. And that's where they met Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in that. But ajib, you know, Allah's Nabi, wherever he went, he did Allah's work. Imagine if we have that quality. Anywhere you go in the world, make niyat, Allah want to do your work. Even if you have to end up in some country for some business, make intention, Ya Allah, take the work of deen from me. I'm telling you, you'll reach Brazil, or you might reach China, or you might reach Dubai. Allah will take the work of deen from you. You can be in the UK also, but your niyat is, or Somalia also, wherever it is. You just made intention, Ya Allah, you can go to Jeddah too, but Allah will touch somebody's heart and connect them to you. Allah will make you meet someone who's thirsty looking for Allah's deen. Just make the intention. Anyway, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, I learned these surahs, because then he embraced Islam, and he gave up that other job of tending to the flock and being a gothard and a shepherd. He now said to Allah's Nabi, I'm going to be your khadim. And everywhere Allah's Nabi went, he used to go with Rasulullah. He became so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he used to keep Rasulullah's miswak. Wudu time, he used to give Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the miswak. Shoe time, to take out the shoe, he used to keep Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's shoes. He was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah's Nabi sat with people on personal issues, no one could come and sit there. Ibn Mas'ud was given open permission, radiallahu. Anyway, we read Surah Al-Anbiya. We'll notice the Anbiya that were mentioned in this chapter were not mentioned in great detail in the previous chapters like Maryam and Taha. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam was mentioned slightly in Maryam. So he's mentioned in detail here. Now Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah mentions an amazing incident about him. How the people were going for a festival. They were going for their celebration, their kind of celebration and Eid. Eid is celebration. They told him to come, he said, no, I'm not coming. They went away.
He went in the idol room. And he is now shocked. Why are people worshipping these idols? His own father was manufacturing the idols. And it was hurting him. He's telling him, "Father, Father, how can you do this?" Father reprimanded him. Anyway, what he did was, he wanted to open people's brains. He wanted to open people's minds. So what he did is, he broke all the idols and took the axe and left it on the big idol. فَجَعَلَهُمْ جُذَاذًا إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُ. He left the big idol, لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ. So that he wanted them to come and ask him. إِلَيْهِ is Ibrahim. He wants them to ask him. So what is he teaching us? In our jurisdiction, in our society, in our community, in our office, in our work area, create an inquisitive nature in people. Make people want to ask. Ibrahim alayhi salam teaches us that. He breaks all the idols. They know he didn't come. They're going to come and ask him. Now see what he says to them. He says, "Well, Father, who did this, Ibrahim? Man fa'ala hadha bi alihatina? Who did this with our gods?" And he wants their brains to open. So he says, the big one did it. فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُ. This one here. فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ. Ask them. If they can speak to you, ask them. So they're telling him now, you know. مَا هَاُلَا يَنْتِقُونَ. These things can't talk. They're inanimate. So he says, so, in that case, why are you playing to it if it's inanimate? And it can't talk. And it can't help you. So this was how he created the interest in them. Then Quran says, فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They started rethinking over their situation, that what Ibrahim says is right. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam created interest, and Quran is giving us this entire story, not to enjoy the story only in the masjid, no, and not to read it and enjoy it. It's called karne ka cheez hai. We have to do it. Isiliye Allah bata rahe. That's why Allah is telling us this story. We have to do it. Create an interest, create that provoke the thought of people, the mind of people, open their minds, make friendship with him. I remember not far from where I stayed, we went to all the houses. So we wanted now, Qiyamah get in, Allah will tell us all your neighbors there, not where my father lives, where I live, near the Darul Nur, lot of non-Muslims live there. And they have the same belief, very similar belief to the people of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah taught us in the Quran how to work with them. So finally one day we reached an old lady's house. So, easy, Allah gave us the opportunity, got to know her, sat with her a little bit, went with one brother. We mustn't visit ladies and so forth, it's problematic. But she was an old lady, 80 years old. So we greeted her, visited her, how you ma, this, that, some need she had in the house, arranged that for her. Easy, you know, some groceries. In that now you made friends with her. So I'm asking her, ma, what's all these things here? She said, you know, these things protect me and I pray all the time and this and that. So I said, okay. So I'm trying to tell her about Allah, the oneness of Allah, this. And I'm asking her, see ma, this one here, it's holding a lollipop stick. So I say, well, what's that? She said, no, what happened is the flute broke. She's innocently telling me. The flute broke, so she replaced it. Now expensive to put another flute there. So she put a lollipop stick. I'm telling her now, ma, that thing fell and it broke. It can't save itself. Can't you think now? Now because I made friends with her, I could tell her. Now remember, when you're talking to people in public, you can't insult them. And you can't be very, you can't bring a lot of humor at that time. Because then you get the herd instinct. You can't take it. On a one-on-one, you can open a person's brains. You can tell him, think about it, man. The creator who made you and made me is the same, and we want to worship something we made with our hands. Don't we have a shame? That's how you can tell people. On a one-on-one, especially after you gave him a cup of tea, it won't cost you much. And some biscuit. Now he had your ikram. Now you can explain to him nicely. Like Hazrat Ibrahim did. This is what Allah wants us to do. So in that, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam told them. So they started actually rethinking over the situation. Quran says they started thinking straight. Then, ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمْ. Then they felt attacked by Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then their heads were turned upside down again. ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمْ. He said, yeah, you know these things, don't speak. Why are you trying to trick us? And now they gathered and the emotions got the better of them. But Quran says, first they started thinking, then their mindsets went upside down. So this is the difference between a one-on-one and the herd instinct. We were reading the verse the other day. Allah says, invite to Allah with wisdom. A man comes to Makkah. His name was Rifa'a. Rifa'a, now remember the Sahabi. He was the first Sahabi from Medina to become Muslim. See the strategy Rasulullah used. Same, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's strategy. Rifa'a sees Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes Zakmullah Khair, greets Rifa'a. He says, oh Muhammad, will you keep my camel and beg for pilgrimage? Allah says, Nabi says, sure. He was prepared to do a favor for anybody. He kept his camel. In that, the hadith comes in Hakim's Mustadrak. So Allah's Nabi was with Rifa'a. Rifa'a said, are you the one they're all speaking about? Everyone's talking about somebody, Muhammad, be careful, he's dangerous. He's a lunatic, some are saying he's a magician. Are you the one? Allah's Nabi smiled and said, no, I'm the one they're talking about. So now he saw that Rifa'a had some inquisitiveness. So Allah's Nabi asked him, okay, tell me Rifa'a, and I want you to answer honestly. He said, okay, I'll tell you honestly. What is it that you want? Allah's Nabi asked him, tell me honestly, who created the mountains? Rifa'a says, he asked me honestly. So I said, Almighty Allah. Because they believed in idols and they believed in Allah. So he's asking from everyone that you believe in who created the mountains. Rifa'a responded, Allah. So Allah's Nabi asked him, okay, tell me, who created the earth? I responded honestly, Allah. Okay, who created the skies? I responded honestly, Allah. Then he asked me, what about the idols that they worship? Who manufactured them? He says, I thought to myself, I have to answer honestly. So I told him truthfully, we actually manufactured it and arranged it and placed it where they are. So Allah's Nabi says, okay, let's do this. He who made us, we worship him. And the one that we made, let those things worship us. Wallah, this is such an effective way. Allah's Nabi taught us how to break the ice. Even if you meet a Hindu and you tell him, you know, uncle, you know what we need to do? The Allah who made us, the same creator, if you don't want to say Allah, or to say the Almighty who made us, we should worship him. You're going to provoke his thought. He's going to go home thinking about what he said. Especially imagine if you are the owner of the company, or you are his superior, or you are his, you are in a higher position than him. Then you're following Sahaba Sunnat. They realize the position Allah gave them doesn't belong to them. Allah gave it to us as a test. Are we going to use it to bring people to Allah's deen? Or are we just going to use it for our dunya, to put coffers in our pockets? That's not going to come with us. So Allah gives us the detailed story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then how they threw him in the fire, which we all know the famous incident. Allah made the fire cool for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Another very similar incident about the Sahabi. Actually, few Sahaba this happened to. Abdullah bin Rawaha and Abu Darda, two Sahaba. But Abu Darda was the last of the Medina people to become Muslim. But he was very wise and very intelligent. Very intelligent. When Sahaba were returning from Badr, he went there. He's asking them, just tell me, where's Abdullah bin Rawaha? They said, no, he's fine, he's coming. He got very happy. He said, we don't carry on, I'm going to my business. And he went to open his store. But his brother, his friend Abdullah bin Rawaha was worried about him. They grew up together. So one day Abdullah bin Rawaha went to his house. And he took all the idols of Abu Darda and he broke it. Abu Darda comes home, Abu Darda's wife is crying. What's wrong? Your brother Abdullah bin Rawaha was here. This is what he did. He was about to go into a rage. But then he thought to himself, no man, you know, my brother is right. These things, you know, they're supposed to be protecting us. They can't even protect themselves. He went straight to his brother Abdullah bin Rawaha. They were friends. He said, take me to Rasulullah. And that's how Darda became Muslim. So Sahaba used the same strategy, many Sahaba. Amr bin Jamuh's story is exactly very similar. In this chapter, Anbiya, Allah tells us about Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dawood alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. Dawood alayhi salam mentioned in the Quran 16 times. Hazrat Sulaiman 17 times. Allah was showing how much of wisdom Allah gave Sulaiman alayhi salam. Dawood alayhi salam was wise, but Allah made his son wiser. What happened here was, and Allah was showing him that his son will take over the deen after him. It wasn't inheritance of dunya, because Dawood alayhi salam was the king. And inheritance, all your children have to get the equal share. But Allah gave everything to Sulaiman alayhi salam. So it was not inheritance of dunya, it was inheritance of his position of kingship and nubuwa. So one day, Sulaiman alayhi salam comes there and his father Dawood alayhi salam just passed a decision. And the matter is mentioned in the Quranic Kareem. One man was a poultry farmer, livestock farmer. And the other man was a crop farmer. So the livestock farmer's goods went into the crop farmer's yard and it destroyed everything. So Dawud alayhi salam told the person who owns the livestock, you must take care of your goods. Now you have to give him your farm because the value is the same and your goods destroyed his. So the man accepted the decision of Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam. So as the two litigants are leaving the court of Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam asked them the entire case. So he went to his father, he says, Father, can I give my opinion concerning this? Very respectfully he said to him. He says, what do you feel? He says, I feel, now you took one man out of business totally. What we should do is, give the livestock farmer the duty of preparing the land of the crop farmer for one season. And in that he can at least live on the crop. And after the season when his crop is maintained and reaches where it was, in that interim, the crop farmer will take care of the livestock and he'll benefit from that and the produce and the other procreation of the animals. He'll benefit from that. So while he's busy with this, he can uplift what his animals destroyed and after the season they will take back their own businesses. And in that, nobody loses out. At least one man is not out of work totally. Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam was impressed by his son's decision and Allah inspired him. فَفَهَّمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ. We gave the best understanding to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. So Dawud alayhi salam was right, but Sulaiman alayhi salam was more right. That's how ulama interpreted. But there's many incidents like this, Dawud and Sulaiman alayhi salam. One day there was two women, they were sisters. They took their children to the woods and they were busy with some errand. One wolf came and took away one child, devoured the child died. When they returned, there's only one child. Both sisters are arguing for that child. Now when the matter was taken, Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam said that who's the biggest sister? Out of respect, let's give the child to the biggest sister. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam asked permission, Father, can I handle this issue? He says, okay, let's see how you handle it. So he gave him the authority to do so. So he said to the sisters, while they were there, she's saying, no, this is her child, and she's saying, this is her child. So he said to one of the servants there, bring me a knife. So the younger sister is asking them, what are you going to do with the knife? He says, no, I'm going to cut the child in half and give you a goat half-half. The younger sister cried very, very emotionally, said, no, no, you know, this child is not mine. Give the child to her. And he saw the reaction of the elder sister was more composed. And he knew that a mother cannot keep her composure when it comes to the death of her child. It's impossible. That's when he passed decision. This child belongs to the younger sister. It was the wisdom of Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah gave him that hikmah. But after all the Anbiya alayhi salam, at the end of the chapter, Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Every Nabi was very, very great. Every Nabi was mighty. Every Nabi was special. Every Nabi was sinless. We don't believe like the Christians. You know what they say about Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam? Mm-hmm. Allah forgive us. Allah destroy people who blaspheme the Anbiya. They say Dawud alayhi salam was an adulterer, was a murderer, was a trickster. Lies against him. Quran says such a man, ni'mal abd. Every second day he used to fast. Not Ramadan, every second day of his life. His night was in tahajjud. He used to make tahajjud half the night. Then rest for a little while. And then wake up the last portion of the night again. Every night that was his tahajjud. All the time in his home there was ibadah taking place. And the Christians say that he liked another woman, he saw her bathing, na'udhu billah, and he tried to get her husband killed, and he slept with that woman, and from there Sulaiman comes. What ludicrous, despicable writings. That's why we say the Bible has been changed. It has been changed. It has been alterated. Corruption has come into it. Allah defends the Quran. That's why Quran is muhaymin. Quran is authority. That's why the Christians are even leaving Christianity, they're becoming atheists because they're losing hope in the Bible. The Quran is muhaymin authority. What the Quran says goes. Quran is the boss, that's what it means. Muhaymin is in charge. What Quran says is right. Not what you and I say, what Quran says is right. Culmination of the chapter, Allah says, all Anbiya are special. But O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ma arsalnaka, you are rahma lil alameen. And if I have to explain to you this one ayah here, how much of rahmah, how much of emphasis in this? Allah didn't say, you are merciful. Allah says Rahma. Rahma is something in Arabic called the Mastar. You are Sarapa mercy. If you want to find mercy, you look at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah didn't say merciful. In Arabic, there's much more. If you say Zayd is just, it's allowed in Arabic. It's a good thing. But if you say Zayd is justice, it's much more emphatic in Arabic. Allah didn't say Muhammad is Rahim or Rahim. Allah said He is Rahma. He is head to toe mercy. And Ma'al illa brings another emphasis. Lil alameen, for humanity in totality. Not just Bani Israel, or one tribe, or one community, or one area, or one town, or Arab. No, the entire universe till Qiyamah. So Allah culminates the Anbiya, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةٍ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah give us the faith to value this. We are the ummah of such a Nabi. We must also be rahmah. We must take some percentage of the mercy of Rasulullah and show this mercy and give it to the ummah. Be merciful to people. Especially in this month of Ramadan, people make mistakes, forgive, overlook. Allah give us the faith. There's no time to discuss Hajj. Allah give us the faith, maybe tomorrow. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمَعِينَ.